This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And today, here in the remote dimension where we record No Bad Ideas in the year of our Anti-Lord 2020, we are actually joined by a special guest star. They are one of the creative, what do we call them? The creative magic agents at the Whisper Forge. They act, write, direct. They are a self-described part-time professional badass. It's Danielle Shamaya. How are you doing?
Hey guys, how are you? I'd like to point out that is proven by science. Thank you very much.
Scientifically confirmed.
My resume says I'm a part-time.
And therefore it's true. I read it on the internet and it's so.
Methodology is sound.
Yeah. Everything on the internet is true. That's correct.
And no lie detected.
We're so happy to have you, Danielle.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. Oh man. This year, in this time.
Oh yeah.
You're really grateful for all the like little things that you get to do this year. Just kind of like, you know, like last year, I went to the grocery store. This year, guys, I went to the grocery store. My God.
It was riveting and my heart was beating at, 150 miles a minute every single time. and I'm home and I'm safe. And don't you miss me? Here's bacon.
Danielle, before we jump into the thing that we do here, No Bad Ideas, do you want to tell the folks a little bit at home about your work so that they can check it out if they haven't already, which they shouldn't?
Sure. You can find most of the things that I do over at the whisperforge.org. I am currently directing and acting in The Far Meridian, which is working on its third season with the lovely Eli Barraza, who I know has been on this show before.
That's right.
We're working on some cool stuff, even now in the quarantine times. You can probably hear my voice here and there in some other places, but if I were to start naming those, like I think I'd get lost at a certain point. just when you least expect it, you'll hear my voice and then you'll hear my name and you'll know like that I was there. I'm the thing that goes bump in the night. The voice actor that goes bump in the night. That's me.
You should put that on the Twitter bio.
Yeah, that's the new version. Thank you. Oh my gosh, rewrites. Yes.
All right, folks, you heard it here. Just kind of dive into the forest of audio fiction. And then...
But especially Whisperer Forge stuff.
The second you let your guard down, it will happen.
I'll be right behind you.
Danielle will find you.
Hello.
But before you go on that adventure, we are going to go on an adventure here on this show. Because this is No Bad Ideas, the show where we bring some of the most ill-conceived, least thought out, just kind of very, very untested ideas that people looked at them and went, yeah, this sounds like a good plan. And then 15 minutes later went, I've made a terrible mistake. And then we present them to each other. We make each other suitably horrified. And then we have 10 minutes to try to turn them into the pitch for a good book, a good movie, a good TV show, a good zoetrope or something, just kind of any kind of narrative. And why don't we jump into our first bad idea, which today is coming from Mr. Zach Valenti.
Oh boy, and is it ever bad, you guys? I think this is a No Bad Ideas first from popularmechanics.com. And huge shout out to Caroline Delbert, the author, for the most hilarious title take on this story that is published in multiple
of different publications, covered widely, as it should be, from Florida, not a man. And this is like current to recording August 21st, 2020. Release 750 million genetically modified mosquitoes into the wild, they said. What could go wrong, they said.
Is this the where they're trying to have the mosquitoes kill each other?
I do believe that that is exactly what this is. Corporate scientists have received...
Corporate scientists is not a good title.
...from the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, to release hundreds of millions of genetically altered mosquitoes into the Florida Keys.
Just so we're clear, guys, I grew up in the tropics, so I'm going to be completely silent for the next 15 minutes as I go through PTSD flashback. Good idea. No. As I am transported back to the horrors of my youth in just the contemplation of these words that you have just said, Zach.
Dear God. I'm from the South, so same. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you picked an idea that would like trigger things in all three of us. Well done.
My pleasure. Takes bow. The goal? To begin reining in the mosquito population, which is expected to increase as climate change continues to warm and flood the low-lying tropical keys.
Yeah, no, because when you have too many ants, you just like unleash some more ants. What, that sound logic? What could possibly go wrong there?
But some environmental groups object strongly to the move. Here's how the plan is designed to work. Local officials want to use these neobugs as an alternative to insecticides. The genetic modification, which is a common one being explored by scientists around the world, involves making female larvae, responsible for laying eggs, die off very young before they can reproduce. Male mosquitoes spread the gene, and in practice, this means any males spend their best years passing around a population-reducing time bomb. By generations, the population continues to dwindle. I believe this is called a gene drive. But does this plan actually work?
No.
While it's hard to find coverage of these events that aren't from groups that lobby against genetically modified organisms, that doesn't mean necessarily mean these groups are wrong. In 2019, a controlled release in Brazil made news around the world when the genetically modified mosquitoes not only lived into fruitful adulthood, but began interbreeding and maybe even strengthening the local mosquito populations. That was a few years ago.
Who could have predicted this? The most predictable possible end to this story.
Oh my God. Guys.
Jurassic Park of mosquitoes.
Life finds a way with mosquitoes.
That was a few years ago after a promising release killed 95% of problematic mosquitoes in a Brazilian trial. This has led to accusations that biotech firms that plan these events have taken the wrong lesson, to say the very least, from genetic engineering cautionary tales like Jurassic Park.
Thank you.
Scientists continue to research ways to self-limit insects using genes like invasive moths that destroy crops and are resistant to existing chemical technology. With mosquitoes, the stakes are even higher because of the diseases they carry. So I think you more or less get the idea. It is pretty scary. I think a tale of unforeseen consequences. And with that, I'm going to give you 10 minutes on the clock.
I don't know what more we can do. Science fiction has put in the work, y'all. Seriously. We have warned you and warned you and warned you again. Like, I don't know how much more clear the artists can be about this.
So, here's my pitch. Zach, is the clock running?
The clock is running.
All right. So it's a Mad Max style kind of post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Sure.
There is a hierarchy that has taken control of the shambles of civilization. But they have it out for this one particular group that they see as a threat. They see it as the people that might rise up and bring revolution to their evil empire. So they capture a warrior from this tribe and give him a choice. either we kill you now or you start working for us, hunting your own. And then it is a gritty, dark story about a man forced to kill his own people by this like fucked up machinery. The main feature of it this way is that there are no mosquitoes involved. Jesus Christ. I am bending over backwards to take the broad strokes of the story and steer it away from anything that goes bzzz in the night
and in the day and in the afternoon
at all times. They never rest.
Indoors and indoors somehow, you know.
I know. They're like doors. What a cute concept. There is no in, there is no out, there is just our world. You live in it.
Yeah, we really really do.
Thirst.
God.
That's a good title for this, Blood and Thirst.
Blood and Thirst. Oh, man. I like the idea of steering it away from mosquitoes, if only because this is an audio medium, so you can't see my traumatized face. You guys can, but I am deeply shaken by the concept that someone would I'd like to think that there's a character in this that, like, you know how in the in your horror movie tropey kind of things, there's always one person that's like an expert on horror movies, like, oh, I know what's gonna happen,
right,
etc. In this one, it's, you know, I'm an expert in science fiction, you know, I'm like the archivist from the world before,
right?
I'm the archivist from the world before. I have seen Jurassic Park, and it was a documentary, and it is showing us, like, you know, how to do this. Is our mad scientist is a science fiction enthusiast.
Oh, I love that idea.
I think that person is really passionate about it seems like, based on what you were saying just now, how best to torture our main character, it would seem. But in a lovable, like, Pacific Rim kind of way, I guess. I don't know.
Sure.
This person can be, like, I'm trying to think of the mechanism by which this person is forced to become, like, a hunter of their own people.
Oh, genetically modified, right? Like, definitely, like, needles, yeah. Right? Like,
no, body horror scene, for sure. But, like, maybe that they're, it's like a, they've been poisoned scenario, their blood has been poisoned, perhaps, and they need to keep getting the antidote at regular intervals, but they'll only get it if they bring in
a head,
like, kills, yeah.
Like, yeah, that is incredibly fucked up. And still somehow more palatable than the real story.
I'm still more comfortable where we are right now.
Yeah. Yeah. This feels safe to me. This feels like the safe space. He only gets the antidote if he brings in, like, enough kills and stuff like that. And, you know, I like to think that it's a degenerative disease that gets increasingly painful.
Yeah.
That, you know, like, the longer he goes without getting kills, the more he begins to ache.
Totally.
And it sort of drives that sort of, like, anger. You know, I feel like there's definitely got to be, like, some kind of a love story there. Somehow he has to come out stronger. You know what I mean? He has to fall in love with one of his targets at some point. Just like these mosquitoes that we were talking about.
Are we starting when he's presented with this conundrum, or like when he's jaded and has been doing this for a while, and then meeting someone and falling in love with them sort of upsets kind of the equilibrium he'd been living in?
My knee-jerk reaction is the second one. Maybe not like 20 years,
no.
But like maybe like he's been at it for like 2 years. He kind of went through his like, fuck this, I'm not doing this period. They kind of, you know, like beat that out of him. He kind of went through his like reluctant period. He kind of, you know, like succumbed to the pressures. And now he's sort of in this like cynical, jaded, resigned place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that meeting this new person shakes him out of that a little bit.
5 minutes on the clock.
Thank you.
There's definitely a scene in there with some, you know, like the tragic flashbacks of like seeing, mm-hmm. because we definitely have to see that those moments where he's captured and, you know, thrown into the centrifuge with all of the, you know, the I don't know. I'm thinking about like, I can't stop thinking about mosquitoes. I'm going to be honest with everyone.
That's fair. I'm there.
I'm putting them into this story as like the method of transmission instead of like needles. They're like these mechanized like mosquitoes.
Oh, God. Right.
Like that scene in the first Captain America where like he's in the metal coffin, whatever, and all the goes in, except he's in a sphere and it's full of
it's
mosquitoes.
It's a swarm. Yeah. No, yeah. I hate yeah. it.
No, it's yeah. horrifying. It's oh the worst God. Thing.
This yeah. is how they give him his life-saving medicine.
No, I think this, no, is, this how is how they inject.
Yeah, this is how yeah. they inject him with the, you know, the serum that makes him like, you know, like whatever, whatever. The thing that he needs the antidote from.
Yeah.
The antidote, I feel see. Like, would be a lot more pleasant. You wouldn't want to have to get into the mosquito centrifuge every time, right?
No.
That's, at that point, you just die, right?
Like, right. Like your heart gives out for no other reason.
Just from right. the stress.
Yeah.
I know. And I would buy that there's an element of kind of whoever the hierarchy is. They want this disease or this bio agent to be cure proof. And so it's important that that there be an element of a living thing transmitting it so that it has a chance to kind of mutate and grow and always kind of, you know, stay like one step ahead from any attempt to cure
Again,
it.
Again, our head scientist is a big science fiction fan. So this yep. makes all of the sense.
Oh, Lord.
Yep. You know what I like to think? I think that there's something in that they've made sure that this main character, this protagonist, is never going to be happy again. So they haven't told them that, like, yes, you have to do these things, you have to kill, et cetera, et cetera. But they haven't told you that, like, you can also transmit it, like, you know, like airborne or like through, like, I don't know, saliva, essentially. So, like, you know, you meet the love interest, etc., etc. You don't know that when you get close, you're like infecting them with this as well.
Jesus.
Yeah, so like you can spread it that way as well. This is like sort of the mad scientist's like little, like, you know, the ace in the hole, like, hey, like,
yeah,
if he does decide to, like, you know, reach out and kind of like
connect
with someone, with anyone, you know, he will doom his society even more than he could have ever imagined. And
that's
that person,
yeah, so terrifying. And like, it makes me feel better, because I was just about to suggest something that I was like, oh, I think this makes me, as like a writer, a bad person, where there's some dynamic where, like, you know, he meets this new person and they, you know, start and like falls in love with them, and somehow they end up cooperating. But at a certain point, he realizes that someone that he killed in the past was someone that they were very close to. And he knows, and we know, but it's only a matter of time before the other person like ties the dots that, yeah, you know, that this was a person that killed their
Why
father
not
or something.
Both?
Yeah,
Why not both?
Yeah. This is clearly a horrible crap sack universe where nothing goes well.
This poor love interest, I would say, like they've got, yeah, they're getting,
they
it gotta,
they're going to have to be like a badass.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. They're going to have to be. Yeah.
And they need to. And I think that the key is that they need to sort of be someone that is working for the revolution or spearheading the revolution. Mm-hmm. And they're telling kind of these like this like main reluctant bounty hunter character, like, no, like, we're going to take down the hierarchy and then we can cure you. Just like, come with
work
us.
Work with us. Yeah.
And he is sort of, you know, kind of caught in this place of, the longer that it takes for this revolution to happen, the more I get closer and closer to a place of just like, I'm going to have to do the thing. I don't want to do the thing, but like, the thing needs to be done.
But we see the
And then it becomes like a story about sacrifice and like what, at what point, for what reason are you willing to sort of repress your survival instincts and work for something larger than yourself?
Right, right.
Mayhaps the mix of this protagonist's blood and sort of the serum that made him the way that he is makes it so that something inside of his genetic code is the cure. And ultimately, towards the end, he has to sacrifice himself in this strange climactic, you know, I'm imagining this like cinematic scene of like the mosquito centrifuge that we were talking about before.
Just
with a modified like sort of version that is like essentially going to rip him apart.
That's like why he has to go back in there so that he can like pass it on to the swarm. And then when they release the swarm can, you know, like go around and like spread this new cure immune version to other people.
Oh God, we came back to mosquitoes. Oh God.
And that's time.
Right My at the nick God, of time. Yo. No, I hate it. Never mind.
They blow up the centrifuge. They never touch it again.
right.
And yeah, someone creates a serum.
Can we go back to the sad ending? Because this happy ending is bumming me out.
Yeah, happy ending sucks.
It's bothering. And then they eradicate mosquitoes, but only as a byproduct of, you know, like the decimation of the entire world, right?
Right, yeah.
But it was worth it because
hashtag worth it.
Hashtag worth it.
Hashtag worth it.
Well, I don't know what to call this movie, but I know how to call you guys
Blood and Thirst
Dodgers for how you totally sidestepped this horrible idea to make a very entertaining story.
It had to be done. It had to be done.
We did it for all of you, listeners.
Really?
We did it for you.
Truly. And we will be back with another bad idea for you after this.
Hello there, Zach Valenti, jumping into this episode really quick with a brief message. At this point, you've probably heard the news. Gabrielle, Sarah, and myself are fundraising for our latest and hopefully greatest audio fiction adventure yet. Since the end of Wolf 359, we have been cooking up a magical universe for a fantasy adventure series that we would like to debut with a show called Unseen, now fundraising on Kickstarter. As always, you can check out the page at www.unseen.show. After a bananas launch, we are no longer in scarcity mindset and are doing our darndest to be able to create jobs for some of our favorite authors in audio fiction for our bonus special episodes into 2021. So head on over to www.unseen.show. Check out and grab any of the rewards that excite you and help us reach our ambitious goal of $40,000. We've got a little bit more than 1 week on the clock, and we have never dreamed of reaching anything close to this for this production. So thank you so much, everybody who's already contributed to get us this far. And if you're not in a position to contribute right now, we completely understand. Just listening to this show makes a difference, and sharing the campaign with people that you think might be into this idea would mean the world to us. One last time, that's unseen.show to head over to our Kickstarter page. All right, I don't know about you, but I could use some more no bad ideas.
And we are back for another bad idea.
We're not recovered.
No.
But we're back.
We did spend some minutes just sort of decompressing, mm-hmm. And talking about mosquitoes and Florida and how there is no escape. So that was fun for us.
We actually had to wait 3 hours for it to start raining so that we could like stare out a rainy window for like a little while.
You try just like the neutral, like white noise ocean sounds, and it does not work.
It doesn't.
No.
You need the real rain.
Anyway.
Feel again.
I have a very pleasant distraction for us all. It is from Yahoo News. Dear listeners, the pictures and article that I am citing will be in the episode description. And it does not involve any pests of any kind. Just a Facebook post. So, okay. I will read the title and we'll go from there.
I thought you said there's no pests. Facebook posts, the most dangerous.
This is from July of this year, and it's from the Associated Foreign Press. Ukrainian president defends movie post to end hostage crisis.
Huh?
What?
Whoa.
I know all of those words, but not what they mean in this sequence.
Well, I shall tell you. The Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Wednesday defended his decision to agree to a hostage taker's bizarre demand that he post a movie recommendation to end a 12-hour standoff.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
This was a real thing that happened about a month ago. Zelensky wow. described how he...
I would ask how it's possible that we didn't hear about it, but then I gesture vaguely at the rest of the year, and of course this got buried.
Indeed. Zelensky described how he negotiated personally on Tuesday evening with a gunman who was holding 13 hostages on a bus in Lutsk, around 400 kilometers or 250 miles west of the capital of Kiev. The tense standoff ended after the president agreed to post a video of himself recommending a 2005 U.S. documentary narrated by actor Joaquin Phoenix called Earthlings, which condemns humans' mistreatment of animals. Quote, we have a result. I see. Everyone is alive. We are not fighting for ratings. We are fighting for life, Zelensky said in a statement that's sensible from a president of a country. After some criticized him for giving in to the gunman's demands, the Ukrainian security service said that all bus passengers were released unharmed. The hostage taker had earlier fired shots and thrown an explosive package. Zelensky said that he agreed in a phone call with the man identified as 44-year-old Maxim Krovosh, that he would, quote, release three people and after I record a video. The armed man complied and freed three hostages. In response, the president posted a video message on Facebook urging people to watch the documentary. Krovosh agreed to release all his captives half an hour later, Zelensky said. Interior Minister Arsen Arakov said Krovosh, who was armed with a pistol, a rifle, and a hand grenade, came out of the bus following negotiations, which was a very good idea.
Yep, yep. That part I like.
Footage posted by Ukrainian officials shows police escorting hostages away while armed special forces detained Krovosh lying face down on the pavement. After the crisis ended, Zelensky deleted the short video he had posted.
Fucking classic.
Jokes on you.
Today, loved ones can hug everybody who languished all day on a bus with guns pointed at them, he wrote on Facebook. We did not lose a single person, added the president, who was a television comedian before his 2019 election win. The hostage taker is currently in a temporary detention center, police reported. There's a little bit more to the article, but I think you all have the idea. Hostage crisis, social media, and movie recommendations. I'm going to put 10 minutes on a timer.
So wait a minute. I just want to make sure that we're understanding this correctly.
Yeah.
So this dude Meister takes these people hostage.
Yes.
Gets in touch with like...
demands to speak to the president of his country.
Right. However, he does that. He gets it. Mm-hmm. And then the demand is that the president has to publicly recommend this documentary from like 10 years ago.
Yes, that is like, what he demanded.
Not like it has to be shown on national television. Mm-hmm. Not can't, like, you know,
can't get that no. done in 5 minutes.
Just a Facebook post.
Just that was enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like this is the case of somebody who is trying to make a difference and had nothing but explosives.
You know, this sounds like someone is remaking the Joaquin Phoenix Joker, but with a character that has the politics of the real life Joaquin Phoenix.
Is he behind this? Oh my God.
Unclear.
But like, it all lines up.
Well, I will put 10 minutes on this here timer. Tell me how it lines up.
And to be clear, no shade whatsoever thrown at Joaquin Phoenix.
No.
Very fine performer and like is an admirable champion for a lot of like very good causes.
I've heard quite this good things about Earthlings, but this is a bizarre story.
Right. Absolutely. It is very strange.
Absolutely. Yeah. No shade to real Joaquin Phoenix. No.
I'm like, I'm not one for terrorism. And it sounds like this person like kind of had like realistic expectations of what they were going to get out of this and like called it quits. Before, you know what I'm saying? Like they weren't
it's such a simple demand for such an extreme action.
Oh yeah. No, like, that's somebody who was like, I'm not doing anything else with my life. It's going to the shitter anyway.
But I'm like, you know, like insert Tom Hardy from Inception. You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bit bigger, darling. Like, come on. Like,
this is definitely quarantine times, though, right? Like the low stakes of his requests, like definitely gives me like the 2020. Like I've been in my house for long enough that this is like this seems like a reasonable big deal to me.
This happened about a month ago, so it's the quarantine times. I don't know how Ukraine is doing with the coronavirus. I assume better than us.
Better than us.
That's the low bar.
I'm also just like, tell me that there's prior history. Tell me that he's been like going to the Facebook's page and being like, can you please recommend this for like 2 years? Mm. Like there has to be a little, there has to be more to this story. There has to be more to this.
Some kind of context, because otherwise it comes off as this, and I mean, this may be the answer here. Like, I don't know about you guys. This reads to me as very cartoonish. Like this is, this is evil Dr. Doofenshmirtz, like lesser Batman villain, like kind of like, I really wanted to prove to my friends at PETA that I really do care about the animals.
This is
like,
so I can give like you, Wonder I can give you Twins this from villain the, territory. From the bottom of the article is that, this man had previously spent around 10 years in prison, okay. on charges, including fraud and illegal handling of weapons.
Okay.
And there was a Twitter account in his name, later suspended, that claimed he had bombs and that asked top Ukrainian celebrities to post anti-establishment messages on social media. There's no more info about what kind.
Okay, got it.
But he had been reaching out via the Twitters.
All right. Okay, this makes a modicum more sense. All right, let's move away from speculating about what is going on in real life and talk about a fictionalized version of this. And I do think that the easiest one is kind of a like king of comedy style, kind of, you know, like someone wants something and like they've spent their whole life as an advocate for something. And I think that like it needs to be that like he made this documentary and he's trying to get it screened. Mm. And like, you
he's
know,
he's taken it on the festival circuit and it just hasn't gotten accepted.
Right.
The podcast circuit is just not picking
it's
up
not
the
same.
Bait. Just not enough Twitter followers,
no.
Not enough traction.
Michael Barbaro will not retweet.
He will not see you tomorrow.
He feels very wronged by this. I feel like he feels entitled, like maybe because of the content or maybe because of, you know, the conviction, you know, his own personal convictions. He feels entitled to, like, this should be getting more, you know, views or something like that. Like these damn TikToks, like et cetera, right. Are getting millions of views a day and I can't get, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I've got to do something. I've got to do something about this.
So here is
where
else
goes TikTok. Cartoon bomb.
Okay. So here is where we reach the Robert Frost fork in the road. And I think like on one side of it, there's the version of this movie starring, I'm going to say Ed Norton.
Sure.
Where it's kind of like, you know, someone that is like very intense and has actually like, you know, he spent like years like as a war like zone photographer or something. And he's seen some shit and he's like a reporter. He's gone to jail for like exposing things. And now he's like made this thing that it's actually like a good movie and it's weighty, but he's like not getting to show it anywhere. And one day he's just like, fuck it. You know what? This is my life's work. I'm going to get it shown. The other side of the road is, I think, the version of this movie starring Tommy Wiseau, where, you know, like the movie is terrible. And, you know, these exhibition people, they're tearing me apart and I just need to get it shown. The people need to see my work. But it is a, like, you know, borderline incomprehensible, just sort of like weird little personal drama. And, you know, at the end of the movie, like the president and a bunch of other people need to sit through this kind of like low key, very like low stakes, just kind of like movie about a guy's life. And it's, you know, some stuff happens in it, but it is a lot and it's not like enormously well made. There's no like really big statement about anything.
Yeah, I think there needs to be an adjustment on what the president has to do and sit through, and definitely a White House screening has to be involved.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, they have to actually watch it.
Oh yeah.
Little
all
popcorn
the brass
machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, general, oh yeah. Ready the nukes. We
yeah,
gotta
the
watch
entire,
this movie.
The entire Joint Chiefs convene.
Right.
Get me some Twizzlers. We're doing this.
Now, if we wanted to make it into more of a suspense movie, there's the version of it where, and this is now just kind of taking into the realms of like, this is an abstract, you know, like piece now, but it could be sort of, you know, like the kidnapper gets in touch with the president. Mr. President, I'm going to send you this movie. I need you to screen it on national television today at 6:00. And I need like the picture in picture of you watching the movie live.
Yeah.
Live stream.
If you laugh at all at any point in the movie, I will there blow up the bomb. I will there blow up this train.
The Statue of Liberty.
Whatever it is. Yeah, the Statue of Liberty. And then it's, you know, and it's this like, and I think that that puts the audience of whatever this thing is into this weird place where you're watching it and you're being like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be enjoying the funny movie or keeping my eye on the corner of the screen where if this guy laughs at all, a bunch of people die.
Why do I feel like this is funded by the people who made the Russian dash cam movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Road movie or whatever it's called.
Yeah. The Road, yeah.
Which, for people who aren't aware, apparently in Russia, it's very common to have a camera in the front of your dash when you're driving because crazy shit happens all the time and you want it on tape just for like legal reasons.
Insurance purposes.
Yes. And then they turn around and get a super cut of all the crazy ass shit from cows falling off trucks to asteroids literally striking the planet while you're driving in Russia.
And I remember a review put it best, which is, the movie starts and a bunch of crazy things happen. And then, it'll eventually arrive at one where it's just like a car driving down the road and everything is normal. And you're just sitting there watching it, just being like, what's going to go wrong? Like, what is going to happen? What's going to go wrong? And it sort of like builds into these like weird, like little suspense movie crescendos. But in any case,
I like this suspense movie sort of like thing. It manifests to me as a sort of like a. Like a bottle episode, but like a bottle movie. I don't really know what the terminology for that is, but like, I'd like to see it from like many different perspectives. Like there's like, you know, the president, like, you know, that morning and what he's doing. And then like sort of it all culminates in everyone having to actually screen this movie. We're not going to see the movie or know what it's about for the entirety of the film
until
the very end. And then it's like about puppies or something like that. Or like, you know, something like
first crush or, you know, something banal.
It's a fucking proposal or like something like that. And like, it's the most ridiculous like thing ever. But we've sort of like, you know, anteed it up in our heads this entire time because it's a very serious like. Yeah.
But I love if there is that mechanic of like the president has to watch it and not laugh once. I like sort of like the final sequence where it's like, you know, the montage of like everyone around the country watching. And it's like cut to a bar and they're all dying of laughter. Cut to the president stone faced. Cut to like an old folks home and they're watching it. They're, you know, like peeing their pants. It's so funny. Cut back to the president just like completely stone faced.
Feet
like
of sweat.
Exactly. Cut back to like another, like a family home somewhere. Cut to like his house where his wife is watching.
Right, you
it.
Cut
like,
up to you the know, residents who are his wife and daughter who are
clutching
it.
Their sides. Yeah. Cut to like the guy, like the vein on his forehead throbbing.
Right.
You zoom into his hand and it's just like, you white know, knuckled. Balling into the tightest fit, white knuckled.
Right. The service men in the back of the room have like a heart monitor on him and it's just like going up.
No, it's one of those things that is like, you know, like you could show like the tiny close up of like his mouth twitching and like everyone in the audience would lean in just like, oh, shit, what's going to happen?
You know, you have to see the little like YouTube video, the scrub, like it says like, you know, negative, like, you know, 10 seconds. Like, OK, he's going to make it. He's going to make it. Oh, God, he's not going to make it.
Oh, God, he's not going to make it at all.
Well, that is time.
Wow.
Wow, guys.
Wow.
This time we do negotiate with terrorists.
I love this. This was great.
I don't know if it's a beer or a cigarette or what, but I feel like I need something after that.
Yeah.
Both? I don't know.
Well, thank you, Zara, for telling us that wild idea.
Oh, my pleasure.
Holy shit.
I almost forgot all about the mosquitoes.
Well,
that's
now
that, my actual pleasure.
Well, folks, thank you so much for tuning into No Bad Ideas. We'll be back with Danielle for another episode this Thursday. Stick around for that. Tune back in, and we'll see you all then.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.